from KQED.
And we now go to Brexit and weather. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will be able to get his new Brexit deal through Parliament, which is hours away from taking up the deal and voting on it. Analysts say the vote will be close. So we look at Johnson's plan in the last remaining 20 minutes of this segment and the latest efforts to get the deal done by the October 31st deadline. Joining us is Chris Buckler. He's the former Ireland correspondent for the BBC and currently Washington correspondent for the BBC. Hello, Chris Buckler.
Yeah, hello there, Mina. How are you?
I'm well, and so appreciate having you here. So immediately after British Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced that he'd reached the agreement with the European Union on Brexit, he ran into obstacles. A group of Northern Ireland lawmakers, whose votes are really essential, right, said they weren't on board. Why not, Chris Buckler?
Yeah, I'm from Northern Ireland, and I've had dealings with this group quite a lot. They're called the Democratic Unionist Party, and essentially they've been propping up the Conservative Party government in Westminster because they have got seats there that basically mean the Conservatives need them in order to push through what they need. Now, things have changed during Brexit. The Conservative Party has essentially got rid of some of its MPs because they didn't vote for some of the things they wanted during that time. And actually, Parliament itself in Westminster is now in such a divided state that Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, is having to get help from all sides in order to try and push this deal through. As for the DUP, the Democratic Unionist Party, what they're objecting to is basically the idea that Northern Ireland, as a part of the UK, is going to be treated differently in this deal. And this is where it gets a little bit complicated, but essentially we'll keep it really as simple as possible. Basically, it's like this. The UK wants to be able to make its own trade deals. Europe says, actually, if you take a look at Northern Ireland, the Good Friday Agreement, that peace agreement that everybody remembers, that essentially said that people there had a right to be British or Irish. And in my case, for example, I've got a British passport and an Irish passport. And at the moment, there's no border, which is something that is very, very important to a lot of people who live there. So Europe said, let's make sure we keep no border. And as a result, they have pushed to try and ensure that Northern Ireland follows the same customs and single market rules as the rest of the EU. So technically, it's a part of the UK and a part of the UK customs. But at the same time, it's going to follow the EU rules. And that is something that the DUP cannot accept because they believe so strongly in the United Kingdom and the Union.
Yes. And so essentially what Boris Johnson worked out with the EU is that rather than having this hard border on land, right, between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, it will be sort of in the Irish Sea between UK and Northern Ireland. And that essentially that it would be the UK that would be administering whatever necessary logistics and tariffs and that kind of thing for a limited period of time, right? Chris Buckler?
Well, a limited period of time, maybe, is the simple answer. The truth is it's probably going to be a very, very long time. And that's because what they have put into this is the idea that it would be voted on by the Northern Ireland Assembly. So this is like a devolution that takes place in the UK. Basically, you have different parliaments that essentially govern things in Scotland. You've got assemblies in Wales, an assembly in Northern Ireland, and a lot of legislation. Basically, they take control. So what the EU and Boris Johnson have agreed is that Northern Ireland would get a vote on how long it follows the EU rules rather than the UK rules, and that they would have a vote every 4 or 8 years as time goes on. But it's a bit complicated by the fact that there is no Northern Ireland Assembly at the moment because the DUP, who are the main unionist party, fell out with Sinn Féin, who are the main nationalist party. And so basically they cannot get along. And at the moment, there's absolutely no hope of that Northern Ireland Assembly returning properly. So actually, how this will all work in practice, nobody really knows.
I see. So the default would be that the EU rules would stay in place in Northern Ireland if they can't really get together to decide whether or not they like that system or not.
Yeah, and beyond that, actually, the other parties all want to stay with EU rules. The Ulster Unionists and the DUP, they're on one side. And then you have three other groups, the SDLP, who are a nationalist party, Sinn Féin, who are Irish Republicans, and also got the Alliance Party, which is kind of a cross-community group. They all feel very strongly, actually, you've got to maintain those links across the Irish border and ensure that there is no border. Because obviously, here in the US, we often think of a border as being somewhere where you go through, you get checks, you know, if you go to Canada, you go to Mexico, you have to go through some kind of process and it's watched very closely. There is none of that. I cross the border all the time between Northern Ireland and the Republic, and you literally don't know when you cross. The only way you know is that in Northern Ireland, it's miles per hour signs for the speed limits. It's kilometres per hour signs when you get across into the Republic.
We're talking about the latest on Brexit and the deal UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson brokered yesterday with the EU. We're joined by the BBC's Chris Buckler, and I want to invite you to join the conversation. What questions do you have about Brexit, its process, its impact, what's going on, its future? Call us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or post your comments on our website, Facebook, Twitter at KQED Forum, or email us at forum@kqed.org. Okay, Chris Buckler, so let's say that Boris Johnson does not get the DUP's 10 votes. You alluded to this earlier. What are the chances that this is going to be passed tomorrow? You know, what does he need to do to be able to get this done?
You know, it's going to come down to a few votes. I've taken a look at the numbers, and essentially it's pretty even. And it's the floating voters in between, the ones that could be persuaded one way or another, that are really going to matter. It is genuinely on a knife edge. And I know we've said this a lot about Brexit votes, and I'm sure you're sick to death of hearing about the fact that there's a Brexit vote taking place. But this one really matters. And that is actually emphasised by the fact that we have got Parliament sitting on Saturday. The Commons, the House of Commons in the UK, does not sit on a Saturday. It is happening this week to try and push this deal through. And tomorrow you're going to see all of that kind of, I suppose, ceremony that a lot of Americans sit and watch and kind of love. But beyond that, you're going to see a really bitter battle in there as they try to persuade those few MPs who are still making up their minds whether or not they will join Boris Johnson's deal, or they will stand opposed to it. And the problem is, if there is no deal, it is a question of going back to the EU and trying to get an extension, or the danger of there being no deal. Now, this idea of a no deal has been talked about a lot, but it could cause all sorts of problems for the UK's economy.
So, I mean, aren't the chances, though, that the UK would crash out of the EU, aren't they much slimmer now as a result of this?
Well, yes and no. I mean, listen, Parliament has done all it can to try and ensure that there would be no deal, that there would be no circumstances where there is no deal, where the UK could not crash out. So it's basically said to Boris Johnson, he must go back and ask for an extension. There's also another MP who's putting an amendment into this, suggesting largely the same thing, that there has to be extensions. But actually, the EU has to agree to an extension, and there are some European countries that are frankly sick to the back teeth of talking about the UK and talking about Brexit. And there has been some suggestion that there might not even be unanimity, you know, that all the European countries might not agree to that extension. But, you know, I think the chances are you would get an extension. And yes, I don't think we're going to end up in the circumstances where we have no deal at this stage. But at the same time, we've been going at this for months and months and months, and there still hasn't been a deal that Parliament can agree to and the EU can agree to. And actually bringing those two sides together is proving incredibly difficult. And as a result, you can't rule out the idea that there is the danger of the UK crashing out.
Well, let me go to James in San Jose. Hi, James.
Hi, I just got a little bit of fatigue here as far as this Brexit and deal or no deal. They voted to get out of the European Union. Get out. Why even have this talk of a deal? Why think that you can thwart or get rid of the European Union's human rights policies, their policies on immigration, et cetera, and then but also get the benefits of being the part of the 800-pound gorilla of trade negotiations and tariffs? If the European Union bends over backwards and lets this supposed deal go through, shame on them for being such cowards. I think it's just shameful. Get out. You want to get out? Get out.
James, thanks. I think, Chris Buckler, that he's channeling some of the frustration of some of the people in the EU with his statement there. Let me just ask you, if Johnson's deal passes Saturday, which is hours away in the UK, then the UK leaves the European Union on October 31st?
Yeah. I mean, that is the idea. If the deal passes, they will be out on October 31st, Halloween. So that is the deal. There is then a transition period, so essentially 2 years, when they can continue to do deals. Because the big concern about crashing out, of course, is the idea that all of a sudden they wouldn't have trade deals with the EU, they wouldn't have trade deals negotiated with anybody, and all of a sudden they're dealing on World Trade Organization rules, which basically are not good for the economy. It makes it difficult to trade or more expensive to trade, certainly. So there'll be a transition period, but yes, the UK will be out of the EU. And, you know, you hear James there, and you understand that frustration. It feels like we have been talking about Brexit forever. And let me assure you that it's not just in the EU, the rest of the countries, it's in the UK too, that people are sick to death of hearing about this subject. But at the same time, you still have those other people and some in Parliament who still want a second referendum. There are former prime ministers, for example, like Tony Blair, that people might remember, and John Major, who still want to push the idea that actually they want to have this idea of trying to keep the UK inside the EU, essentially yes, overturn that first referendum. And as a result, although we are getting close to potentially having this deal, there is still this huge debate going on, which is probably why James and others are frustrated.
Yes. I mean, do you think that there could be a second referendum, that even if, say, I don't know, Labour Party members or those opposed to the Brexit deal agree to sort of pass this holding their nose, but on the condition that it goes to the people for a vote of approval?
Yeah, I mean, we've had votes to try and push for a second referendum before, and it hasn't managed to get the numbers inside the Houses of Parliament. But we've had that moment where basically people were saying, listen, there's no chance of a second referendum. It then felt, actually, this could well happen, because what other choice is there in this? Then there was talk about a second referendum to basically give the final stamp to the deal. At the moment, I think the chances of a second referendum are falling again. But you can never rule anything out in this.
Well, let me go to Simon in Alameda. Hi, Simon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is, I'm actually a dual citizen, U.S. and British citizen, and I'm just interested in your thoughts on the impact that the crashing out of Brexit, the Brexit deal will have on the impact to citizenship and the ability to, you know, for U.S. and British and Europeans to basically emigrate back and forth across the borders as they have been in the past. And I'll take that off air. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. Chris Buckler.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the way this all works now is that if this deal goes through, that people who live in, I was going to say the UK, but actually Great Britain, so for example in England, Scotland and Wales, they will potentially need to get permission to go to European countries. You know, there might be a visa system that's been talked about to put into place. Obviously, up to this point, people who hold a British passport are entitled to work and live in any part of the EU. That is going to change. And similarly, there'll be different immigration policies for people who live in other European countries going to try to live in the UK. I say England, Scotland and Wales because, as I mentioned, it's slightly different for people in Northern Ireland,
right,
because most of them are entitled to a British and an Irish passport, which means that they still keep on to those citizens' rights. And actually, there's also a big question about going forward, because the suggestion from the British government is they will still recognise people as being Irish citizens. There is still the chance that in Northern Ireland you still have European human rights laws and things applying if you choose to invoke them.
Well, can you quickly answer Nancy's question here? She writes, how does the proposed Brexit deal affect the free movement of people? The news reports only talk about goods. Weren't pro-Brexiters mostly voting for it because they didn't want more immigrants? So if immigrants can freely go to Northern Ireland because there's no land border, are they stopped from going into Britain or not?
Yeah, immigration was one of the big topics, and I think you'll appreciate that here in the US as well, that immigration was one of the big topics that was talked about with Brexit. Truthfully, I will say quite categorically, they don't really have a clue how it's going to work. But yes, essentially, Britain wanted to reclaim its borders. Northern Ireland is an oddity in all of this because it is going to have open borders with the Republic of Ireland. But essentially, if you are Europeans, they're still working out the rules for how this will work. But essentially, in the future, it could well be the case that if you're a European citizen, a member of an EU country that wants to go to the UK, you might have to ask permission and vice versa. Now, how that works in practice is a big question. And it's one of those questions for, again, the Irish Sea, because currently I can get on a ferry in Belfast and I can go across to Scotland and I don't need to show a passport. In the future, you might have to.
Well, Stephen in San Francisco, quickly, we just have a minute left.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I was just wondering how Boris's plan is different than Prime Minister May's.
Yeah.
He's rejected it multiple times, and I know that I read that Jeremy Corbyn says it's actually worse. So.
Yes. Stephen, thanks. I think your line is just slightly off. So I think that was something that came up, that it actually isn't remarkably different from Theresa May's plan, Chris Buckler.
Yeah, and it's a big one for the Brexiteers, this, how they explain all of this. Now, what is different from the final plan is that Theresa May had put all of the UK in this backstop, this idea that basically they would remain aligned to customs union and single market rules to the EU. This time, it's only Northern Ireland. But actually, Theresa May moved to the position of putting all of the UK into that so-called backstop because Brexiteers were so angry about the idea of Northern Ireland being treated differently. And that included Boris Johnson. He was one of the ones that objected to Northern Ireland being treated differently.
Exactly.
And now his deal has Northern Ireland being treated very differently indeed.
All right, Chris Buckler. So tell me how you think this will play out in the last 30 seconds that we have.
I don't know is a simple answer. And the numbers are too close to call. Practically, is this a solution that works for the EU and the UK? Potentially, yes. But he has to convince those final MPs that they will switch sides. And that includes some Conservatives who he threw out of his own party. It's going to be an interesting day to watch.
But either way, a win for Boris Johnson because he managed to get some kind of deal.
Well, a deal, but not a deal until it's passed through Houses of Parliament. That's the way it goes. And this could be another Prime Minister that falls as a result of Europe.
Chris Buckler, former Ireland correspondent for the BBC and currently Washington correspondent for the BBC. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Mina, thanks very much indeed.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions, comments. We'll have more Forum next. Stay with us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.